story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen, and good morning, church family. It's good to see all of you here. It's good to be here. Thank you for those of you that prayed for my back. I'm a lot better. And so it's good to be with you again this morning. And if you're a guest with us today, there's a place in the bulletin that says, Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship. If you'll take a minute and fill that out, then you can tear it off and put it in the little wood offering box by the double doors back there. And that lets us know who was here worshiping with us this morning. We want to pray for Tom and Janet Robinson. He's got COVID. He got a call just the other day that he has COVID. And so we want to be sure and pray for them. And Sharon Woody's with us, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give her a hand. She's gotten healed up. Just don't touch her over here. That's where all that stuff, all that procedure stuff went on her left side. And so we want to also pray for a gentleman, Tim Gant, who's a friend of mine, has property out here, hadn't been here in a long time simply because he's trying to tackle cancer right now. Precious man of God. Him and his wife are precious. And so just be lifting him up as well. Now, did we get the video going, Matt? Okay, I'm going to read you something real quick. Ryan, while I was in Norman, said, Dad, I got to go somewhere this morning. I'm going to be gone for a little while. Ryan and Megan have, he's a college minister at a church in Norman, and they have a ministry to college students at OU, but a lot of them are international, and Megan and Ryan really love that part of it. And so anyway, he said, Dad, I'm going to be gone for a little while this morning, because I have a friend. I've made friends with a gentleman at OU from Bolivia, and I'm teaching him how to drive. He wanted to know how to drive. So Ryan says, I'm teaching this guy how to drive. And then, so this is what Ryan says, and then I'm going to show you this video. This is for the first time Ryan ever baptized anybody, and they took a trip into, he doesn't say in here, I'm almost positive it's the Wichita Mountains in Oklahoma. Whatever. That's where they went, okay? That's where they went. And so he took all of these college students, him, his wife, and Milo, which is like, I don't know how old that dude is, a couple of months maybe, on a hike into the Wichita, wherever it is, mountains, and this guy got saved. This kid was an atheist, and he came to Christ, and so Ryan baptized him in the lake up there. Watch this is pretty cool.
Nico, my friend, have you accepted Christ to be your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And do you promise to follow him for the rest of your days?
I do.
Let's go. All right, brother, well, it's my privilege, my honor. It's my honor, my brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism.
Don't.
That's all right. You heard enough. How cool is that? Amen. Needless to say, neither one of them are going to ever forget that. Amen. That's an amazing deal. And so it's amazing how when the Lord's working in people's lives and we join him in what he's doing, how he can use us to further his kingdom. Amen. So let me ask you something real quick, and then we're going to spend a moment in prayer. What is it today that you need to lay at the feet of Jesus? That young man, it was everything, right? It was everything. His whole life, he'd been an atheist. And now he had to surrender everything to Jesus. But as you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning, I want you to think for just a moment. What do you need to lay at the feet of Jesus? Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe you need God to do a work in you physically, like I just needed this last week. Maybe you need the Lord to step in and work out some kind of conflict you're dealing with in your life. Maybe you need to lay your financial status at the feet of Jesus. But what is it that you need to lay at the feet of Jesus and just let him be God? Maybe you quit trying to fix it, and when I say you and I point at you, there's always three fingers pointing back at me, amen? But what is it that you need to quit trying to handle, that you need to quit trying to control, and lay at the feet of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we are so thankful for the healing in Sharon's life. And excited to see her and John with us today. And Father, we want to pray for Tom, that you would heal him, and just pray for protection for Janet as she is taking care of him and at his side right now. And Lord, we also pray for Tim in this long, drawn-out battle with cancer, with all the chemo and all the radiation. We just pray, Lord, for a miracle in his life, and we pray that you would bless him in a special way today, even as only you can. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this young man that came into your kingdom, and we pray that you would bless him and surround him with people that can love on him and disciple him. And Father, today as we continue, worship is something that has to come from our hearts. We can't come in here and sing Victory in Jesus and just mouth the words and actually worship you. We have to mean it from our hearts. And so we all come in here this morning with different things going on in life, different things that concern us, trouble us. And right now, Lord, for the next hour, we would like to lay those things at your feet and allow you to be God. Allow you to actually be the Lord of our lives. I love what Ryan said to the young man after he asked him if he had accepted Christ. He said, "Do you commit from here on out to follow Jesus?" And so, Lord, today we want to lay anything that's troubling us or maybe just the busyness of life at your feet. And for this next hour, we want to bless you way more than we ask that you bless us. We ask that we could be a blessing to you. We ask that you help us to pay attention with our minds and our hearts to your word. Help us to pay attention with our minds and our hearts as we sing these next three songs, that we would literally worship you while we're singing. And we pray at the end of this service that you've been blessed, that we have loved on you, that we've thanked you for all the blessings that you have blessed us with. And we pray, Lord, that your name would be glorified, and we pray that your kingdom would be furthered at the end of this service today. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, I have a new one for us this morning. Now's not the time or place for me to tell you about where I was last weekend, but suffice to say, this men's ministry, we have a saying where we get men out there, we get them out of their comfort zone, and our goal is to get them to the highest place on earth, which is the foot of the cross. And so we had this song last week. It's very easy for you to follow. Hopefully the lyrics are working this time up there for you. But y'all stand with me and sing this. This is the message of the gospel, and that's why I love this song. So let's learn a new one today.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There's nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood, the blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, the blood. There's nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood, the blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. To my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. The Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I can't. give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Find in these songs, this was the progression, God. You demonstrated your love for us that while we were still sinners, you sent your one and only Son to die for us. He paid the penalty that we owed on the cross. And because of that, now we can stand boldly before you, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us. God, we thank you that you have made us for more than just showing up and attending church on Sunday, showing up on Wednesday night, making sure we clicked into our Bible app for the day. You made us with so much more purpose than that. We are children of God. So, Father, I pray that we will rest in that this morning as Chris brings your word, that you would give us ears to hear, that we would bask in your presence this morning, and that when we leave here, we won't forget what Chris preached about, but that you will put it on our hearts how we should apply these truths and open our eyes to the opportunities that you give us to share this with others and not keep you to ourselves, Father. We thank you for this amazing, beautiful morning that you've given us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt and Jackie. We're going to be in Galatians 5, and then we're going to drift over into 6 this morning. And so what's the context of Galatians? We need to understand that before we get into this. It's legalism versus the law of Christ, right? It's having to perfectly obey every rule, right, and ritual of the Old Testament law versus being free in Christ Jesus because we've put our faith in his sacrifice on our behalf through the cross. Amen? So the law of Christ is love, mercy, and grace, right? And that's important that we understand that because all of verses 5, 26, and then all of 6 that we're getting into is still in that context of Paul talking to the Galatians about legalism versus freedom in Christ, right? So it's important that we understand that. Now let me ask you a question this morning. This sermon really challenged me, and I liked that. I liked it. You know what I mean? I love it when I'm writing one or somebody's preaching one, and it really challenges me because I want God to show me where I need to change and what I need to adjust and do differently so I can be more Christ-like. I grew up in a world of John Wayne. That was my world growing up. Every time I was sick and I stayed home from school, my mom said, "What do you want to eat?" And I'd tell her, What do you want to watch on TV? John Wayne. Find some John Wayne movie, Mom. And I grew up in the world of John Wayne. And so progressively, over a long period of time, I've had to try to... And so Christianity was almost John Wayne when I was growing up. I've had to move away from that because John Wayne lacks a little bit to be desired, biblically speaking, and move over to try to become more like Jesus Christ. And there's a huge difference. Nothing against John Wayne. If you're a John Wayne fan, I still love his movies. But I watch them from a whole different perspective. In fact, when I watch a John Wayne movie now, the thing that I love, he gets this look on his face when he knows he's wrong and he's just been corrected. He gets a look on his face that I just love because you know that he's willing to admit that he's been wrong. And that's one of my favorite things in his movies when I see that, or when I see that he finally humbles himself, puts his arm around somebody, shows someone kindness and gentleness and love instead of just bullying your way through because you're bigger than everybody else, right? Or you're faster than everybody else. And so it's been a transition for me to try to become more Christ-like. And so here's what I want to ask you. We're going to talk about being filled with the Spirit and what that looks like. But first, before we dive into this, and I wouldn't raise your hand and say yes. I'd think about it for a moment. Do you consider yourself spiritual? Do you consider yourself spiritually mature? Don't answer, because we're going to see. Okay? Let's start with Galatians 5, 26. This is what Paul ends chapter 5 with. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, or in other words, provoking one another, Let us not become boastful, challenging one another and envying one another. And with that in mind, let's dive into Galatians 6. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, meaning any sin, the caught doesn't mean caught by another person. It means caught up, entangled, like you've been caught in a spider web, so to speak. Okay? If anyone is caught in any trespass, any sin, you who are spiritual, circle those words in your notes, because that's going to be huge for you. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. We're going to see a lot of these one another phrases we talked about a couple of weeks ago. There's over 50 of them in the New Testament that shows us how we are supposed to be to our brothers and sisters in Christ. So bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ, which again is love, mercy, and grace. For if anyone thinks he is something when he's really nothing, he deceives himself. Okay, so we've spent the last several weeks talking about being filled with the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and even talked about the fruit of the Spirit. All of that is in chapter 5, right? And so Paul finally, at the end of chapter 5, warns the Galatians. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another and envying one another. So what we've learned, and this is point number one, while being filled with the Spirit begins with surrendering control of our personal lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it doesn't stop there. Then it extends to all the relationships we have with one another. That's one of the biggest mistakes you can make in the Christian life, is that you say, okay, I believe in Jesus. Jesus, you're my Lord, my Savior, and then you just go on with life. And it doesn't affect the people around you. It doesn't affect the people you work with, the people that in your family, the people you go to school with, so on and so forth. Cindy Janeka told me this. Y'all remember her? She was with us a few Wednesday nights ago to kick off this new Bible study, right? The challenge to trust on the path to peace that we're doing. And she said, Chris, when I first started writing this, it was all, or trying to go through this journey to get here where I could write this, it was all about trying to find peace. Peace was the main word. And then she said, but over time, as I began to learn and the Lord was working in my heart, it became about trust. Trust was the main word. And she said, but what just floored me at the very end, after I'd already written the book and the book was out, I realized it's all about surrender. It's all about the word surrender. And she said, more than anything, I just wish I had put that in the book. I wish the very last word in the book was surrender. And she said, one day I was kind of going through the book and just going back through it, and she said, I was amazed. I don't know where it came from or how it got here, but on the last page down here in this corner is surrender. And so her journey, she realized, was all about surrendering all of life, every area of life, to her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so while we live in an individualistic culture, right, that prioritizes our individual and personal lives, listen to this. While we live in an individualistic culture that prioritizes our individual and personal lives, even in our experience with Christ, this is my own private experience. You have nothing to do with it. The Bible says, Paul says, it doesn't stop there. Our relationship with Christ is also meant to affect every other relationship that we have. Put another way, being filled with the Spirit was never meant to be just some private experience, but it was meant to be an experience where the Holy Spirit begins to empower us, as he says in verse 26, to quit challenging one another, quit provoking one another, stop envying one another, and then learn to love one another. Learn to encourage one another. Learn to care for one another. Learn to serve one another. Learn to be kind to one another. And I could go on and on and on, because there's another 40 plus one another commands given in the New Testament. So let's look back at Galatians 6:1. You guys are going to have to forgive me a little bit today, because I'm on stuff. And it dries my mouth out. So let's look back at Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, remember, caught, entangled, if anyone is caught or overcome in any kind of sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to himself with humility, so that you too will not be tempted. And I may have put it in the New Living Translation. I want to read this to you as well. Maybe not. I don't know if it's in your notes or not. Dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly, meaning you who are spiritual, should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, and be careful that you don't fall into the same temptation yourself. And so now we see that we are even commanded to restore one another. The Apostle Paul is saying, when you observe a brother or a sister in Christ, another believer, overcome or caught up in some sin, you're to restore them. Put another way, you are to gently, not harshly, you are to gently seek to help them back on the right path. You are to humbly, not with arrogance, seeing yourself as a big deal because you're more spiritual than they are. You are to humbly restore them and help them to get back on the right path. Now, here's what's interesting. Paul limits who is to restore that person. He limits that here. And so that begs the question, how do you know you're spiritual? Because he limits it in that verse. How do you know you're spiritual? Because you gently and humbly help a brother or sister to once again submit to God and be obedient to his word. And Paul is insinuating that this is the opposite of what the legalist does. When the legalist catches someone in sin, what do? They stone the person. When the legalist catches you in your sin, they're going to stone you. They may not hit you with rocks, but they'll hit you with words. They'll stone you with harshness, and they'll stone you with arrogance. And it never occurs to them that they've done the same things. Never occurs to them. You can take almost any sin you want, and that sin falls under the sin of idolatry. You first. You first. But for the legalist, it never occurs to them that they have committed the exact same sins that they accuse you of. You remember when the religious leaders of Jesus' day caught the woman committing adultery in John chapter 8? Y'all remember that? What did Jesus tell them to do? They were ready to stone her. And what did Jesus tell them to do? John chapter 8, verse 7, in your notes, he straightened up and he said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Now there's a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Have any of you heard that? The biggest stinking lie on the planet. Sticks and stones bounce off. You can hit me with a stone and it may hurt me for a moment, but it's going to bounce off. You can hit me with a stick and that may hurt, but it's going to bounce off. Words penetrate the heart. Words go deep. Words kill, the Bible says, or they bring life. Words destroy people, or they bring life to people. And so Paul's teaching the Galatians, this is one of the ways you know. This is one of the ways you know you're keeping in step with the Spirit of God, because you show love, kindness, and mercy to those who stumble. And let's be clear, we're not just talking about those who've made a mistake here. We're talking about those who are caught up or overcome by some sin. Point number two in your notes this morning. Number one, while being filled with the Spirit begins with surrendering control of our personal lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it then extends to all relationships we have with one another. Secondly, being filled with the Spirit shows up in the body of Christ as believers recognize, and we've lost this, that they are accountable to and responsible for one another. Being filled with the Spirit shows up in the body of Christ as believers recognize they are accountable to and responsible for one another. When I say we've lost it, I mean we've lost it as a whole. Because I honestly don't believe that about us. I honestly don't believe that about this church. I believe that you people generally love and care for other people. Because I hear about it. And I'm very, very thankful for it. But once again, the way you know if you're being led by the Spirit is because you submit to accountability and you execute responsibility with gentleness and humility. Whereas the legalist tries to hold people accountable with harshness and hostility. The legalist calls people out either shaking their heads at them or shaking their fingers at them. And neither of these is Christ-like. The legalist is so arrogant that he or she completely misses the Holy Spirit's reminder that he or she has also fallen into the exact same kind of sin. In fact, the legalist has become so arrogant they don't even recall how many times that they themselves have also been snared by the deception of Satan and the ways of this world. And while they are arrogantly and harshly judging their brother and sister, they don't realize that they themselves are sliding deeper and deeper into sin. And so Paul limits those who are fit to restore others. Point number three. Number one, while being filled with the Spirit begins with surrendering control of our personal lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it then extends to all the other relationships we have with one another. Number two, being filled with the Spirit shows up in the body of Christ as believers recognize they are accountable to and responsible for one another. And number three, being filled with the Spirit shows up in the person who is spiritually discerning enough to restore another with mercy, grace, and the love of Jesus Christ. Look back at verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught up in any trespass, any sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, each one humbly looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. And bear one another's, there's that one another phrase, again, bear one another's burdens, and there, that's what we've been called to, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And if anyone thinks, this is interesting, listen to what he says in verse 3. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And so Paul says, leave the act of correcting people and restoring people in the body of Christ to those who are spiritual. In other words, to those who have the spiritual maturity to do it according to the law of Christ, which is mercy, grace, and love. Sometimes we want to jump in and we want to correct others quickly and according to the amount of knowledge we have. It's interesting, though, the Bible says this. Knowledge puffs us up. It makes us arrogant. But love builds up. It builds others up. It edifies others. 1 Corinthians 8:1. So having knowledge obviously doesn't make you spiritual, amen? It may just make you arrogant. So the spiritual that Paul's referring to are not the ones that see themselves as super wise and having all the answers and having it all figured out. Those are the arrogant. Those are the immature, Paul is saying. Notice verse 3. If anyone thinks he is something when he's really nothing, he deceives himself. Why? Because he has it all backwards. He's got the whole thing backwards. The spiritual are the ones who see that. Listen to this. The spiritual are the ones who see themselves as nothing without the mercy and the grace and the love of their Lord Jesus Christ. The spiritual see themselves as nothing. The arrogant see themselves as a big deal who know everything. They've got it all figured out. Paul's saying that's the spiritually immature person. The spiritual see themselves as nothing outside of the mercy and grace and love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They are nothing, and they are the ones who continuously are checking in with the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Notice that Paul, and this is interesting, he ties in one of the fruits of the Spirit, gentleness, with spiritual maturity. And he makes the point that the only person who has the trait of gentleness, only the person who has the trait of gentleness is fit, is spiritually mature enough to restore others in their walk with God. And then Paul says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is not a reference to the Old Testament law. It's a reference to the Christ-like characteristics of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Who made himself nothing, the Bible says, showing us mercy, grace, and love in our time of need, the Bible says, while we were still sinners, the Bible says, so that he might redeem us to God. He might restore us to our Heavenly Father. Notice the new commandment Jesus gave us in John 13, 34 through 35 in your notes. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Sacrificially, amen? I mean, Jesus proved his love for us on the cross when he sacrificed his own life for us. Amen? And he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And remember what God's word tells us about the importance of love in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have this Christ-like love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, if I know and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I even have all faith so far as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am what? Nothing. And Paul says this kind of Christ-like love that is sacrificial is more important than knowing everything, having a faith that can move mountains, understanding all mysteries. In fact, those two things without Christ-like love, the Bible says, are worthless. But the greatest of these is love, and only Christ-like love will never fail. And then he proceeds to explain what the love of Christ looks like in practical terms. I believe I put it in your notes, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5. So when you're about to correct someone, when you're about to help someone get back on the right path, love is patient with that person. Love is kind to that person. Love is not jealous. It does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly, meaning it's never rude to the person. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. And it does not take into account a wrong suffered. That's what it looks like to be like Jesus Christ. That's what it looks like to be spiritual, to be the kind of person that now you have the Holy Spirit's permission to intercede in somebody else's life. Now you have God's permission to go and help someone else get untangled from this web of sin that they've got themselves in. Because you have the humility of Jesus Christ, who made himself nothing so that you could be saved and so that I can be saved. And if we don't have these qualities, we don't need to be correcting other people. Paul says we don't even need to be trying to restore other people unless we can do it with gentleness and humility and the love, the sacrificial love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's only as we begin to own this kind of Christ-like love that we move from nothing to someone the Holy Spirit can use to help lead and restore others to God. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Maybe you're here today, or you're watching online today, and you would like to receive God's truth about how you can never work your way to heaven. None of us can. No matter what you do, it'll never be enough. Because God's holy. It means he's completely separated from sin. And he's righteous. It means he's never sinned and he's perfect. And yet you and I were born with a sin nature that separates us from God, the Bible says. Yet God himself came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. live a perfect life, and then die in your place on the cross. To pay for your sin. So maybe today, like the young man in the video, you would like to accept God's free gift of salvation and eternal life by placing your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And if that's where you're at right now, you can do that by saying a prayer somewhat like this. These are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I realize you are God in the flesh. And at the same time, you're the God of the universe and the Savior of the world. Today, I want to put my faith in you. And your sacrifice for me on the cross and your resurrection from the dead. And I confess to you that I'm a sinner and I need your mercy and forgiveness. I need your power to turn from my sins and your grace to submit to your authority. And I ask you to forgive me for playing God and trying to run my own life, trying to do my own thing my own way. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to transfer control of my life to you and for you to be the Lord of my life and the Savior of my life. I'm ready to start living a life abiding in you and allowing your word to abide in me. Thank you for loving me enough to die for me, to save me from my sins and make me a child of God. Maybe you're here today and you're already a believer and you might want to say a prayer somewhat like this. Heavenly Father, help me again to begin like never before to focus on keeping in step with your Spirit that lives within me. I need you to peel off some of the old ways of life and the old ways of living, and I need you to help me to remain in Christ and allow His word to remain in me, because I want to bear the fruit of the Spirit. I want to fulfill the law of Christ. I want this life to quit being about me and show me how I can live a life loving all the one another's in my life, serving all the one another's in my life, praying for all the one another's in my life. And I pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, you may be here today or you may be watching online, but if you said that prayer in your heart and you meant it, asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then friend, the Bible says you're now a child of God. The Bible says now that God has placed His Spirit in you. And the Bible says that you can learn to live a free life, resting in the mercy and the forgiveness and the grace and the unconditional love. Maybe that's what you need. You're not going to get it anywhere else. Nobody's more precious than my wife. But she can't give me unconditional love. Only Jesus Christ can give me unconditional love. She can in a form, but not like He has. And that's the ultimate freedom. That's the ultimate peace, is when you place your trust in Him. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to be down here at the front. And if you would like for me to pray with you or for you, then you just join me here at the front. And I just say this to you, don't let fear ever hold you back from following the Lord. Face your fears with faith. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for this precious time that we have had today worshiping you. And most of all, we just thank you for the law of Christ that replaced the Old Testament law. A law made up of love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness. In Jesus' name.
Feels like all the songs have probably all been sung, but I wanna bring you something new, something that moves you. I don't have all the words to tell you how much you're worth, but I wanna bring you something true, something that moves you. From the dawn to the dusk of my days, from the depths of my soul, and with all of my strength, here is my heart in just one phrase. Jesus, I love you, I love you. When I say I mean it, it's true. And I hope you can see in all that I do. I know it might be nothing new. Jesus, I love you, I love you, I do. And I'm sure the angels sing beautiful melodies. I want to bring a song that's mine for the rest of my life. Oh, I want to bring a song that's mine for the rest of my life. From the dawn to the dusk of my days, from the depths of my soul, and with all of my strength, here is my heart in just one phrase. Jesus, I love you, I love you. When I say it, I mean it, it's true. And I hope you can see it in all that I do. I know it might be nothing new. Jesus, I love you, I love you, I do. All it takes is a little faith, a little faith. All it takes is a little praise, a little praise. What a joy, what an honor that I can say. I lit up a smile on my Father's face. All it takes is a little faith, a little faith. All it takes is a little praise, a little praise. What a joy, what an honor that I can say. I lit up a smile on my Father's face. From the dawn to the dusk of my days, from the depths of my soul, and with all of my strength, here is my heart in just one phrase. Jesus, I love you, I love you. When I say I mean it, it's true. And I hope you can see in all that I do. I know it might be nothing new. Jesus, I love you, I love you, I do. Oh, oh, I love you, I do. It's nothing new, but still I choose. I love you, I love you, yeah. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
All right, let me share a few things with you guys real quick. Today's the day to, I hope you brought your baby bottles back. If you didn't get one and you want one, we got to take them back tomorrow, but there's this one and there's a few more back there on the table. But those baby bottles are due, so we can take them back tomorrow. And then be sure and register for youth camp And then, Andrea, tell us about this chili dinner real quick, please, ma'am, if you will.
Yes. Okay. It is 12 weeks until children's camp and youth camp, and that is going to fly by just like that. So we are beginning our just time that we are raising our money to send the kids to camp. It costs $310 to send a child and $355 to send a youth to camp. And so that's expensive, especially if you're sending more than one child. And so we're going to do our best to try to raise the money to help these parents. The kids pay a $50 deposit, and our goal is to try to raise the rest of that money. So starting next Sunday is our annual chili supper. So we will enjoy the aroma of chili cooking all during church. We'll have it in there, and then directly after church, we'll convert this into an area where we can all sit and eat and have chili. And we will have just a donation if you would like to give a donation. And for all of the children and teenagers that are participating, whether they're cooking chili or bringing some of the fixings, we divide all that up and it goes towards their camp. So parents, if you're here today, there is a sign-up sheet in the back where you can sign up to bring items, or church family, you can help us in bringing some of those items too for those families. You know, we have drinks and, desserts, chili, chips, cheese, and of course the chili as well. So that's next Sunday. And then we're also getting all of our camp deposits in. So if you have a friend that you're trying to get to go or something, just let either Matt or I know. Matt's coordinating youth, I'm coordinating children. We'll go ahead and reserve them a spot and, you know, try to help them to get to go. We always add several extras to our camp spots because it's our chance to reach out into the community and, hey, bring a friend and get somebody to camp that has never been before. So we're excited about this year. Both the youth and the children are going to River Bend. The host church, First Baptist Arlington, comes in for 2 weeks, and they host the children, and then they host the youth, and so it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you have any questions, ask Matt or I also about that, and we'll be glad to answer them.
All right, great. Thank you, ma'am. Make sure to mark a few things on your calendar. There will be no Wednesday activities on March 19th because it's spring break. Everybody's gone, okay? March 30th, Lord's Supper. We're going to be doing the Lord's Supper in here on March 30th. And we're also, GBF 101 will be on March 30th. And then April 20th will be Easter in the Park. And that's an awesome deal if you haven't been to it. And then even though I'll be preaching during that Sunday when we have that chili supper, I could preach a Christmas sermon and none of y'all know the difference, because there's going to be 20 crock pots of chili lined up over there while I'm preaching. But that is really one of the funnest Sundays. Are we doing the contest, the cook-off contest deal? We usually have a first place, second place, third place, and we have judges and all that kind of stuff. It's a really cool event, and it actually raises a lot of money to help kids go to camp, so it's a lot of fun. All right, I love you guys. I'm glad to be back with you. Glad to be standing upright and be back with you today. Let's stand, and we'll close in prayer. Oh, I want to stay there 1 second. I want to ask you to pray for something while we continue building this building we're building. Pray and ask the Lord for sowers and planters. Same thing, right? Sowers, sow seed, you understand what I'm talking about? Or planters, okay? One of the things, I was reminded of this week, one of the things that we saw as we studied Ezra and Nehemiah was that God provided everything the people needed as they came together and joined him in what he was doing. And so pray for sowers and planters, those who will join God's activity now, so that there will be a great harvest in the future. And sowers and planters sometimes are a rare breed because they do all the work now. They give themselves, they give their resources, so there'll be a great harvest in the future that they may never see. You know what I'm saying? But somebody once said, cultural transformation happens because of the awakening of a single generation. So pray for sowers and planters. Join me in that. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, all through Scripture, you provided for your people as they joined you, as they joined you in what you were doing for your kingdom. So Lord, help us to be that kind of people. Help us to be sowers and planters so that there will be a great harvest in the future, so that children, teenagers, and young adults, and median age and old will all come to know Jesus Christ. Use GBF to make a massive difference in the culture of this community for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.